Today is Sunday evening, February the 14th, what they call in secular terms Valentine's Day, where there's lots of love and roses and candy and shared between husbands and wives and lovers. But Mark wants to do a sermon today called
Alone with God.
Alone or Alone with God. I know when we first started talking about this message, Mark wanted to title it Alone. But there's not anyone in that is on the face of the earth, or that's ever lived on the face of the earth, or that ever will live on the face of the earth, that is totally alone. They are all created beings, and every one of them, according to Romans, are without excuse before God. Every person that's ever existed. Now, for the Christian, there is a great, great hope and consolation that Christ has died for their sins, and that they have fled to the cross of Christ, and that He is their continual advocate. He is continually, Jesus Christ is continually making intercession for them to the Father. We struggle with sin on a daily basis. So many people have a total misunderstanding of what constitutes sin. But sin is anything that is a violation of God's perfect law. The only one that's ever kept the perfect law of God is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ is not only the lawgiver, He's the lawmaker, and He's the only one that has the ability to keep the perfect law. But when we talk about loneliness or being alone, we can look at several different aspects of that concept, and that is that when we are out of fellowship and out of communion with God, when we've sinned against Him, if we are elect child of God, we are going to be very lonely. Because we know that God is no longer showing us His favor. God does not condone sin. He does not condone wickedness. And He will not smile or wink at our sin. That's why Christ came, to be our sin bearer, to take our sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin, and never will and never has known any sin, but yet He still took our sin. He bore our sin upon the cruel tree, and the suffering of bearing our sin is beyond the realm of our explanation. He said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but Thy will be done." Now, when we are experiencing loneliness from our family, from our friends, from people that we think love us or we think we love them, sometimes it can be very emotionally painful. Jesus Christ some people came to Jesus Christ and told Him that His mother and His relatives were outside wanting to see Him, and He said, "Who is my mother? Who is my brother?" He is my mother and my brother that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. We can have a kinship with God when we are doing His will, and only when we're doing His will, when we're outside of His will. Now, I'm not trying to say God has two wills, but what I'm saying is when we are in disobedience to His law and His commandments, then we are in rebellion against Him. And when we're living in rebellion against God, even if we have our family and our friends and our relatives' approval, we cannot be in communion and fellowship with God. Vice versa, when we're in communion with God, and we know that we're living in obedience to His commandments and His Word and His Holy Spirit working in our hearts, and it goes against our relatives and our friends and our whoever, then it doesn't matter because we are still in communion with God. There's a song that says, "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms." There's no greater fellowship than the fellowship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ said if a person is not willing to give up their family, they're not worthy of the kingdom of God. And so if you're experiencing today loneliness, if you're experiencing discomfort, emotional discomfort, if you're experiencing a void in your life because you're not having fellowship with your family, examine if you're in fellowship with your God. The Bible tells us that those who are in Christ will suffer persecution. And we are to joy in our suffering. We may not enjoy suffering, but we are commanded to joy in our sufferings. As things wax worse and worse in our society, as the wicked one continues to tempt us and try us and lay all manner of things against us, we need to realize that there are many promises that we can hold on to that have been given to us in the Bible. One of those promises says, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Have you ever succumbed to temptation and sin? If you say no, you're a liar and the truth is not in you, according to the Bible. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yes, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God since our conversion, since our regeneration. We have not lived a perfect life since our conversion, since our regeneration, since we've been born again. None of us have lived in total perfection. And if you say you have, you're a liar, and the truth is not in you. The only way that we can appear righteous before a most holy God is through the claims of Jesus Christ's perfect sacrifice on the cross for us. Now, that is not a scapegoat for us to sin. He is our scapegoat, though, by the way. He was our substitution. But yet, we are still responsible to keep the law of God. And God is merciful and gracious to grant us His continued grace to endeavor to follow after His precepts. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous." But I would be less than honest and truthful if I were to tell you that I've kept perfectly the commandments of God, because I have not. In fact, I have disobeyed His commandments grievously at times, for which I suffer greatly, conviction of sin and and remorse and much travail of conscience when I do that. But for God's elect, we have been told that He is our great high priest, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace, wherein we can find mercy to help in time of need. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That doesn't mean you have to go confess your sins out there to the whole world. And every time you sin, go and tell your whole family about it. No. You don't have to go to the priest. He is our high priest. That doesn't mean that we hide our sins, because they cannot be hidden from God. Your sins are an open book before God. He knows you're going to commit them before you even do it. Just like He knew that Adam was going to fall before he fell. Just like He knew that Cain was going to kill Abel before He killed him. He knows everything. He's omniscient, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the great I Am. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There's nothing that we can hide from God. So when we talk about being alone with God, wouldn't it be much more comforting to be alone with God, living in obedience and fellowship with Him, than rebelling against His Word and being out of fellowship? I know it is. I've been both places. And it's much better to be in fellowship and communion with God than being out of fellowship. Satan will do everything in his power to... Satan knows that he cannot take the soul of one of God's elect. But if he can cause one of God's elect to stumble and fall temporarily and be out of communion with God, he is very, very happy. He's laughing, he's scorning, he's scoffing, and he's ridiculing the elect of God when he tempts us and we stumble. Now, James says that we sin when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. But Satan is the one that brings about much of the enticement. And just like he enticed Eve in the Garden of Eden, and she succumbed, and then she enticed Adam and he succumbed, and the serpent, the one that beguiled, was behind the whole thing. Now, even our sins cannot separate us from God, because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. He's paid for our past and our present and our future sins. Nothing can separate us from God if we're in Christ. He will not impute our sins unto us, but during the time of our disobedience, we will be in great, great remorse and conflict of soul. God is the one that grants us repentance to flee back to Him. And when we fail Him, the Bible says that all things work together for good. And that even means our sin, to teach us lessons. All things work together for good to him that loves the Lord and him that is called according to his purpose. If you're a called out one, all things work together for your good, even though you cannot see it. And I'm sure that it's hard for us to understand how sometimes when we sin, we disobey God, how that could work for our good. But we know that God chastises us and disciplines us when we're living in rebellion to His Word and to His Holy Spirit. and He will cause us to repent and to return to Him if we're one of His children. The shepherd of the sheep, when we wander from the fold, He is merciful and kind and brings us back into the sheepfold. And being alone as a little lost sheep out amongst wolves is not a very comfortable place to be. We can hear the wolves coming closer and closer, and we know that we're on the precipice of death. And just in the nick of time, the shepherd shows up, gathers us up in his arms, and drives the wolves away. Now we know that the wolves can never get us if we're one of his. If he died for us, if he shed his blood for us, he's also secured eternal life for us. And that means eternal protection against the wolves of our soul. The Bible says that only Christ has the power to turn both soul and body into hell, not the devil. Even though the devil is the prince and the power of the air, Christ is sovereign over the devil. The devil is a created being. The devil is a non-elect angel. Ephesians says we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians tells us that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Colossians says everything was made by him, and everything that was made by him and for him. And all things were put under his feet. Well, alone. It's a lonely, lonely world out there. You know, there used to be a song when I was coming up as a kid, "Lonely days, lonely nights, where would I be without my woman?" Well, with a Christian, it's lonely days, lonely nights, where would we be without the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and our Savior, Jesus Christ? It's a very lonely place to be. Sometimes we get discouraged and think our hope is vain. We're tempted then to murmur and of our lot complain. But then we think of Jesus. And so that's what we need to focus on. And all he's done for me. And I cry, O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. O Rock of Ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. So that's where we need to be. We need to flee to the rock of Jesus Christ. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flow be of sin the double cure, safe from wrath, and make me sure. Now for those who are living in a backslidden condition that might hear this message, I have a word of exhortation for you, and that is exactly why Jesus Christ came. He said he didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Is he calling you to repentance? If you're outside of his fellowship, I exhort you to call upon the name of the Lord to grant unto you a repentant heart for departing from his word and his commandments. And daily we are in a struggle in this world of sin and sorrow. It's not going to get any easier. We've been tried and we've been tested. The song says, "Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by." Sometimes we don't understand it. It seems like we're overwhelmed with trials and troubles and temptations and physical sorrows and physical illnesses and financial struggles and all. And after a while, it seems insurmountable. We cannot continue to go on. When that happens, realize that if you're one of God's children, that God is carrying you during those times. We can't ever carry ourselves anyway. We can't take the next breath without Jesus Christ carrying us. And so, one thing that I have said many times, and that is that Scripture tells us that all the Father has given Him will come to Him, and all that come to Him He will in no wise cast out. And my argument before the throne of mercy is, I've come to you, Christ, and I've asked for your aid in my deplorable condition. And you've told me when I come to you that you will not cast me out, and you cannot lie. And so I'm resting secure in the fact that you will not cast me out. Now, the other thing I want to say, and that is this. Spiritual walk is one of continued reading of the Bible and praying and seeking the face of God. If you can't read the Bible yourself and you find yourself not able to pray, I would suggest that you get on and listen to a good minister of the gospel. And I've got a couple that I would refer you to listen to that have been of a tremendous help for me during times of tribulation and suffering and heartache that have encouraged me in my walk. One of them is a gentleman called Michael Pickett, and he's with the Old Strict Baptist group. I think he's out of Choteau, Montana, I believe. And if you want to hear some of his sermons, you can go to What the Bible Says, and you can listen to Michael Pickett. I've got several of his sermons on that website. And when you go and you find his website, not only would I recommend you listening to Michael Pickett, I gave you the wrong website address. It's whatthebiblesays.homestead.com. whatthebiblesays.homestead.com. I've got two of Michael Pickett's sermons on that website. One of them is called Know My Name, and the other one is Not of Man's Will. And the other minister that I would recommend that you listen to some of his sermons is a gentleman by the name of Bouma, B-O-U-M-A. And so if sometimes you don't have the strength or motivation to even pick up your Bible and read it, and you're so defeated and you just can't go on, and you feel like you can't even pray, there is tremendous value in listening to those who are following God and are in a right relationship with Him. And if you listen to some of their messages, you may find it to be a great comfort to your soul. That's why God has, one of the reasons that God has ordained ministers and has called ministers into this, is because of the fact that they are not only encouragers, but they exhort, and they, with all long suffering and doctrine. And there's so many good sermons on that website, the Old Pastrick Baptist Church. I'm not saying that I agree with everything that is on that website. I'm not going to go that far. But I am going to say that there are so many good sermons on there that I can tell you this, that if you'll listen to them, you will be encouraged if you're one of God's elect. You will. God will use those to, by the Holy Spirit of God, and to grant unto you comfort. And I want you to just continue to seek out these things. And one of the messages I would strongly recommend that you listen to on that website is by Henry Bouma, B-O-U-M-A. And it's, Is There a Balm in Gilead? Is There a Balm in Gilead? What a phenomenal sermon. Another sermon that he did was, In All Things Jesus Made Like Unto His Brethren. Another thing I would recommend that you do is get into the Psalms and start reading the Psalms. Even though you may not feel like reading them at first, it won't be long till you're glad that you opened a good book and started getting back into the Word of God. One other thing I would say is another good message that Pastor Michael Pickett did on there is called A People Taken Out. You know, we are a called out people. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a peculiar people. And once we understand who we are, it's much easier to understand whose we are. If we understand who we are, then we can understand whose we are. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Just commenting to my wife when we were both in the Arminian church, neither one of us ever heard any sermons on the first chapter of Ephesians, sixth chapter of John, 10th chapter of John, 17th chapter of John, the first chapter of Peter, the ninth chapter of Romans. You know, just whole sections totally cut out of the Bible. And those are for God's elect, those chapters I just mentioned are some of the ones that give the greatest amount. The 45th chapter of Isaiah is another one. To give the elect child of God the most comfort in times of tribulation and temptation and sorrow and heartache. How can you read, go to the first chapter of Ephesians, and I'm going to ask Mark to read a few verses here before we conclude this message. Verse 3, Mark, of Ephesians chapter 1.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ,
according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will,
to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved,
in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace,
wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence,
having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself,
that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, I say.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will,
that we should be to the praise of His glory. First, trust in Christ. We're going to end there with this message today. Father, we pray that you take this message about being alone in Christ and cause those who have departed from your word and from obeying your commands to turn back to you and heal, O backsliding Israel. We know that you will cause all of your elect to repent. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.